Thank you for that song. I'd like to welcome you here, and I know I'm not Barry, but I guess you got me stuck with me today. We're going to talk about who is this Jesus? Who is this guy that we call Lord? And some in the world say didn't even exist, didn't do any miracles. Some say he was a composite of about three or four or five different guys. But who is he, really? It's a good question to ask, because Jesus himself asked this very question of his disciples. Matthew chapter 16, and I forgot to move my slide over. There we go. Then Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. This is before the Mount of Transfiguration. This is towards the last, two-thirds, in the beginning of the last third of his ministry. He's already been around for two-thirds of it. He asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they gave him answers like John the Baptist, Jeremiah, easy. But anyway, so one of the prophets. But then he says, "Who do you say that I am?" to his disciples. Peter, being the more vocal of all of them, spoke right up. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But he wasn't the only disciple who was asked that question. All of them were. And one of them being John. And he wrote a gospel. And his whole gospel was written to tell us who Jesus was. And that's why he wrote it. He wanted to write it so that we could believe, just like he did, who Jesus was. And he starts out with a prologue. And the first five verses says, "In the beginning was the Word." This is John, the Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. "Was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You know, he's making a big statement right there. Jesus is God. He's not just, you know, a person who God worked through. Not like Moses. Jesus is God. "He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and in that life was the light of men." Those are two themes that go throughout the whole gospel. Jesus is life, not death. He brings us out of death into life. And light, he shows us the way to God. "The light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it." That's because darkness can't overcome light. The very nature of what darkness is the absence of light. When there's light, there is no darkness. So it can't overcome it. But what happens is that light in the world gets dimmer and dimmer. And the darkness seems to get darker and darker. That's what we're going to look at today. He finishes verse 14. "The Word became flesh." That's how come we know all of this was about Jesus. He says that Word, who is the life and light of man, became flesh. His Emmanuel statement, like Luke has or Matthew has there at the beginning. You'll call him Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, this is John's Emmanuel statement. This Word, God, became flesh and dwelt among us. "We observed his glory. The glory is the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And through the rest of his gospel, Now he's going to show us how Jesus himself answered his own question of who he is. Who am I? The first place we're going to look is, I didn't put that one up there. Sorry about that. This is Jesus' answer. He's talking to the lady at the well. And we know about that as the Samaritan lady, and so the Jews didn't have anything to do with that. But this, all I want to get here, and I want to go into the whole story, is that the woman says to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. She's trying to get out of this little discussion they're having. We know, yeah, brush him off. We know the Messiah is going to come. But Jesus replies, I, the one speaking to you, am he. He is the Messiah. He is the one who is to come. And he comes right out and tells her, I'm him. I can explain everything to you. Well, that changed her life. Completely changed her life. She goes back into town and tells everybody. The whole town comes out to Jesus. And after 2 days, they're all saying, we believe not only because of what you said, but now because of what he says. He is the one who's going to save the world. That's part of Jesus' answer. But later on, the Jews are talking to him, and the Jewish leaders, and they're saying, you know, where are our father Abraham? And Abraham did this, and Abraham did that. And so then he says, well, Abraham saw my days. And he rejoiced that he saw them. And the Jews replied, you aren't 50 years old, yet you've seen Abraham? Yeah, well, Abraham did live quite a few years before Jesus. Quite a few years, a couple of thousand. Well, not quite that long, but still. Truly, Jesus tells them, truly, I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. And that is a big statement. Because when Moses asked God, who am I to say sent me to the people in Egypt? God says, tell them, I am, that I am, sent you. God, Jesus, right here, is telling the Jewish leaders, I'm God. And they knew it. They picked up stones. They were getting ready to go stoning, but Jesus no longer is there. He disappears. But here's another place where Jesus tells us who he really is. He really is God. Then we have the traditional I am statements of John, where he goes through and he lists off where Jesus says, I am. And the first one of those he lists off is the bread of life. And what does bread do? Nourishes us. It gives us nourishment. Food gives us the energy and nutrients to be able to live our lives. And that's what he says he is. Our nutrients, our strength to be able to live. I'm the light of the world. I can show you the way to God. I can show you how to live. I'm that light. That's another one of his statements. Then he goes on and says, I'm the gate for the sheep. To come into the shepherd, to come into the sheepfold, to come into the fold, they've got to go through the gate. Who's the gate? Jesus. Then the next goes right along with that. I'm the good shepherd. Not only am I the gate of the shepherd, of the sheep, I take care of them. And when one gets lost, I go look for it. I take care of my own. He goes on and says, I'm the resurrection and the life. When you die, you will live again. Because I'm going to raise from the dead, you will raise from the dead and be like me. you will have that as part of my life that I'm going to give you. Life, resurrection, and new life is what we have in Jesus. Our old life is done away with. Once we become in that sheep, one of the sheep, we have a new life. We're new. The next one, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. There is no other way to God. There is no other way to live but through Jesus. And if we truly believe that, then we should be talking to a lot of people in this world. Because this world comes out and says, they all lead to the same God. No matter what you believe, no matter what you think, no matter what religion you follow, they all lead you to the same God. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. The truth is in Jesus. Not in anything else. They're all there to be to deceive us, to call deception. And they do not lead to life everlasting. I am the true vine. And if you're going to live and be part of me, you've got to become part of me, part of my vine. You're going to get nourished from me. I'm going to send that sap up. I'm going to send that spirit up into you, and it's going to help you develop the fruit that you're going to have in your life. I am the true vine. What you say about us? We're the branches. But God prunes the vine. He takes care of the vine. That's what God is doing. We went through that kind of fast because I just want to get, those are Jesus' statements to who he is. John also talks about he has different signs. He calls them signs, but they're miracles that Jesus does while he's there with them. And at the end of his ministry, he has been put to death, he's been raised, and he's talking to his disciples. One of the Sunday afternoons. This is the second Sunday after his resurrection. A week later, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out your hands and put it into my side. Don't be faithless, but believe." Thomas responds to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus says, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." That's where we are. We weren't there to put our hands on Jesus' hands and look at the scars of the nails. We weren't there to eat bread with him at the table. We weren't there to witness all the signs and wonders. All we have is the Word of God, what's been told to us. And Jesus says, "Who have not seen yet believe, blessed are those." Jesus performed, then John says, this is the reason why he wrote his book, is for us who have not seen Jesus. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. To to John, believing is much more than just saying, yeah, I believe Jesus is God. Yeah, I believe he died for my sins. Believing in Jesus in the Gospel of John is accepting him. He changes your life. Just like the woman at the well, when she realized he says he's the Messiah, changes her life. She runs and tells everybody who I found. Andrew, when he spends a day with Jesus, goes and gets Peter. Philip, when he spends a day with Jesus, goes and gets Nathaniel. People who were healed by Jesus, those miracles, they couldn't hold it in. They told everybody they saw. They told, hey, Jesus, look what Jesus did for me. How do we respond in our lives? Knowing what Jesus has done for us and our life that we live for him. How are we responding? Are we reacting like them and want to tell everybody? Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples on the night of the Last Supper, John has three whole chapters of discourse where he's talking with Jesus. And in that discourse, he had said, you know, hey, you know the Father. You've seen the Father. And Philip says, no, show us the Father. You know, we haven't seen the Father. Show him to us. And John chapter 14, verses 8 to 14. Lord, said Philip, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been among you all this time, and you do not know me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who lives in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. That's a big statement. The one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and he will go do even greater works than these. Because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. The reason why it's so important for that question, who is Jesus, is because of this. Jesus is saying, I'm God to the world. If you've seen me, you've seen God. And what he's telling his disciples, if you believe me, I'm going to be in you. You know what that means? Extend that on out. The world will see Jesus through us. That light, then, that is lighting the world right now is us. We are now that light of the world. Jesus even says so. You're a light. Don't set it under a bushel. Set it on a hill. We are the light of the world because he's working through us. We are his disciples. We are his sheep. We are his children, his brothers and sisters. Those who believe in him, he says, I give the power to become children of God. In John chapter 14, he goes on to say, in 23, verse 23, Jesus answers, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and he will come to me, him, and make our home with him. We will come to him and make our home with him. Where does Jesus live right now? In us. And so when we look out into the world and we see how dark it is, maybe we just need to shine a little brighter. As his family, the family of God here on this earth. You know, after reading all these things that Jesus said about himself, there's only really two alternatives that you can come to. Either Jesus really is who he says he is, or you got to think he's a complete demon or an idiot. C.S. Lewis came to that same thing. Let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher, just a human, a great man who had good teachings. We can't come with that idea at all, he says. He has not left that open to us. When we read all the things that Jesus said about himself, he either has to be who he says he is, or he's nobody. He just didn't exist, or he's a demon out there trying to deceive us all. And that I will not accept. So, again, who do you say this Jesus is? Is he your life, your light? Is he your resurrection? Is he your life? Is he your way? Is he your truth? Are you part of his vine? That's the question that we all need to look at and see what we can do on a daily basis to become a brighter and more clear light for the one who's living inside us. If you're here today, and you would like some prayers for the congregation or whatever, who are of an elder, we invite you to come. We're getting ready to sing our song. Patty, if you want, if your worship team wants to go ahead and make their way up. Want us to think about who Jesus really is. Because how we answer that to ourselves is how we are going to live in the world around us. It's a very important question. Sometimes it just gets overlooked as a statement that Jesus had with his disciples when they finally come to realize that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then we need to realize after his death, they turned the world upside down for Jesus. We're his life. Where is people? Let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to offer a prayer, and then we're going to sing. Father,